In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. An epic anniversary, I get whatever. It's 250.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought of the
America
base?
America 250, Fanbase 250.
Did we do the first one at your house or my house?
Oh, my God.
Remember we did Rico Bronya in my basement.
Yeah, we've done them like all over the place in random places.
But I feel like I went to your house in Canton.
I think we did one in the basement there. I feel like we did our first one was remote because it was still like the pandemic kind of stuff. I feel like we did it on like a
StreamYard or something. Yeah. I remember doing it in your basement and your son was playing like Xbox behind a curtain and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And he pokes his head out.
We did it once in like during a practice, like on a field. We've done them all over the place.
We got to do something special somewhere at some point.
It is pretty amazing though. 250 episodes. It's impressive to say the least.
Yeah. And to our loyal listeners, the few of you out there, obviously I know Dom Rivers listens a lot. So we love Dom. And today is going to be interesting in the sense that we're going to talk about that play in Toronto on Monday night. We will talk about Adley Rutschman being activated on Tuesday. We'll get an update on the Yankees and some sort of general conversation about the Red Sox as well. There's a lot that's been written and said about what happened in Toronto. Anecdotally, I was driving from the Cape back to Connecticut, and I was listening to other things in the car. And right before I came home, just a couple minutes, I put on the game just to see what was going on. And it was right when the umpires were talking about it, and Will Middlebrooks was on the broadcast, former professional baseball player for the Red Sox and a couple other teams, and he was ripping the players.
Oh, yeah.
He was ripping the players for not knowing. We'll set the scene. There was men on first and third with one out, except the outfield board said two outs.
Right.
There was a fly ball to the outfield that was caught. And because the players thought there were two outs, because that's what the board said, they ran on contact.
Yep.
And then once Toronto realized it, they threw to first and they had a double play thinking the inning was over. There was confusion everywhere. And I think even at least one of the umps thought there were two outs as well. And ultimately they talked to New York. They went back and forth. And then on some arcane rule that said, if you cross the plate before the second out is made, then the run counts, which makes no sense because he still would have had to tag up. They said if he had thrown to third instead of first, it would have been no runs. The inning would have been over.
Right.
I mean, I can go over all the minutiae of this freaking thing, but I'd never seen anything like it before.
No.
And so before I give you my hot take, you know, since you don't really have any skin in the game anyway, what's yours?
Well, I'm amazed that if you listen to it on the radio, how you would follow it on the radio, because I was watching it on TV and I was still trying to figure it out. Even the fact that it was a 15-minute delay in the game while they, I don't know what New York was doing when opening the Book of Smurf or something. It was like I got all I could picture of them. Like they're like everyone's sitting in that room in New York being like we know something's not right here. Like we need to like literally pull a book out or something.
Right. So the ruling again, this is what they put on the television. Rule 5.09(c)(4). Appeal plays may require an umpire to recognize an apparent fourth out. If the third out is made during a play in which an appeal play is sustained on another runner, the appeal play decision takes precedence in determining the out. I have no idea what that means. For the purpose of this rule, the defensive team has, quote, left the field, end quote, when the pitcher and all the infielders have left fair territory.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
So basically what they're saying is that the pitcher and the catcher and the infielders, not the outfielders, left the actual field of play before they threw the ball to first. Now, that's irrelevant anyways, because if they threw the ball to first, that throws the whole play off. They had to throw the ball to third to basically appeal it.
And that would for the guy for tagging out.
Would have been out, right? So there's two elements to that, right? There's the whole like throwing at the wrong base, and there's the guy
on first too, though, so he was tagged up.
But you had to go to third to throw to basically make the play negate. And it's the fact that the players were walking off the field, because if you didn't do, you have to do both. You have to stay on the field and make the play. You can't do either or, right? But like Will Middlebrooks said, this all comes down to literally four people on the field. the first baseman, the third baseman, the first base coach, and the third base coach. Completely in a million drop the ball on all of this. There's no way in hell that the first and third base coaches are the last line of defense in all of this. They have to know and they have to tell the runners how many freaking outs they are.
And you watch more baseball than just about anyone I know. Baseball is all about, to me, it's like it's part Tourette's, part OCD. All you're doing is reminding each other all the time.
Yeah.
What's going on? One out, two outs, two more, one more strike. You got this. One more, two more. You gotta, you know, all you're doing is telling yourself and other people
right.
what the situation is at the present moment. So those players and the coaches not knowing because they're relying on the board, Will Middlebrooks is right.
What it also tells me is the guy who hit the ball, is it Sogard, hit the ball? He has no idea because he was up when he hit the damn ball.
Yeah.
So he didn't even know going up to his at bat how many outs there were.
Now, I'm going to make an extrapolation here that I don't know if it's been talked about either. This is reflective on our culture because of the phones and the inability. We have allowed ourselves to lapse on retention and attention in the sense that, you know what, you don't need to know what time it is or where this or that. You don't need to know phone numbers. You don't need to know anything because you have access to it. So you can always rely on something else or somebody else to know what you should have already known. And now it's obviously trickled into something like this. Now, whether it's timeouts in basketball or whatever, my point is that because these young kids and these players are young kids, not the base coaches, they don't have an excuse, but because these young kids, they don't really have to be in the present in the same way because they're reliant
everything's being
on technology.
Done for them.
Right.
They're being told everything.
Right. And so this is just a product, a byproduct of that. If I were to make it an interpretation, it would be that. And I'll also say this, and this is going to be out of left field because I've been reading and listening to a lot of stuff about the death of reading. Nobody reads anymore. And then everyone criticizes young kids for that. But you know who doesn't read, who reads less now than ever is old people.
Yeah.
And so maybe these base coaches, these old farts like us, they're just as guilty as the players for not for relying on other crap and not retaining and remaining in the present.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, it's about the moment, but it's also it's a bigger picture thing here that's not being discussed, which is we suck. We suck at focusing on the present and knowing what's going on.
It's crazy that you say that because there's literally, I just was just reading an article and I can't remember if it's like New Jersey or Massachusetts or New York. It's one of the three Little League teams that's I think it's New Jersey or New York. It's making a run in the regionals and going up for the Little League World Series. And they credit, and I don't think it's ever been done, like 60-something years that the team's even made it that far. They credit the fact that the coaches banned all phones. As soon as they made the team, they were like, as soon as you get anywhere near the field, you check your phone at the door, and that's it. And they went into the regional tournaments and all this stuff where they're staying in places, phones checked. No phones for the kids. And they're saying, and the parents are saying, and then and the coaches are saying, that's the reason, 100%, why the team is so focused and so laser focused on winning and being a team than anything else.
Yeah, I 100% believe it. And we're seeing a lot of movement in our culture back to, we were just doing a story the other day, you know, about school systems going back to cursive writing. Not because you're going to use it.
There's no more of that, dude.
No, but it's coming back.
Well, it's good.
It's coming back not because people use it because you're not going to use it. It's coming back because your brain needs it. Your brain needs that skill. You're, just like your brain needs to be able to focus on other people and communication.
Well, your son can attest to this because he's a card collector. When you look at the cards now, like these kids that are coming up, they're like 18, 19 years old and they're signing these baseball cards and it's like Bob. B-O-B.
Oh, they don't know how to sign their names.
They don't have no clue. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's like D-A-N.
Yeah.
Dan.
That's my kids do the same thing, actually. But it's so true. Anyway, so that's our quick hot take on that. The Red Sox did not deserve the run.
Shows you that baseball, you never know. Like, it's the one sport that you can go to and watch. You just literally, absolutely, positively never know what you're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's been commented before. I talked about it on my morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080, that baseball's amazing. It's 160 years, and there's still stuff you've never seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they'll say, oh, that hasn't happened since 1912 or whatever.
Did you see that ground rule double that the ball hit and rolled up the side of the wall all the way down the third base wall, up
not.
The railing, and hopped the wall and went down this gutter
that's
alley.
That's awesome.
It was a ground rule double that went past the third baseman diving for, hopped up on the railing.
And
the
rolled down the
all
railing?
All the time along the railing, like a freaking skateboard.
No one grabbed it.
All the way down the whole outfield railing.
And he got a double out of it.
Got a double.
Could have been an inside the parker if it was fair, though.
Crazy.
Right? That's crazy. John Senecal, Brian Shackman. This is episode 250. Of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's start with the Yankees. What say you?
Oh, God. It's a good thing we have pitching, Brian, because this team still can't score. It's so frustrating to watch, and it's there's so much talk now about, oh, well, you know, Grisham and Jazz can't be full-time players. Well, I mean, Yankee fans love to love players that can run into a home run every 50 at-bats, right?
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're batting .175, .225. I just don't get it. You watch situations. You got three lefties in a row. No matter what lineup, I feel like they're throwing out there. They're so vulnerable in the late innings. They didn't do anything you want at the trade deadline to solve problems. Say what you want, right? But the bottom line is they lack the focus. They lack the determination. They lack the desire. And it's like a joke. You see situations where you should be pinch hitting for players, and you can't pinch hit for them because the night before the guy just threw a three pitch at bat that you've never seen in your life, where he tries to bunt on two strikes and swinging the balls off the plate. Just unbelievable. Like, it's just absolute trash, all right? And the one good thing you're going to keep pointing to is, everyone's going to keep pointing to, is the pitching, right? The pitching is absolutely carrying us, but the pitching is going to wear out. So what the Yankees need to do, in my opinion, is the problem that they have, the good problem that they have, is Rodon's going to be coming back. The Yankees shouldn't be thinking about who's going to the bullpen. They should be thinking about a six-man rotation and keeping these guys fresh. So if they need to, they're going to have to rely on them in the playoffs beyond belief.
I think that that's a really, really good idea because it's the only thing they can.
The sample size is there, Brian. Like, we're not going to all of a sudden mysteriously all of a sudden start scoring runs with a lefty predominant lineup.
Just think about, if I go down this list, their lineup is Grisham, Rice, Ramos, Garcia, Chisholm, Jones, Lombard Jr., McMahon, and Wells. I mean, it's not good.
Right, and the thing is, if you look at the Yankees lineup right now, as you play a game today, if I'm going to look at that lineup and say the one guy I would want up to guarantee he's going to put the ball in play and probably get a hit, who would you say?
Right now?
Yes.
Well, I mean, Ben Rice on Monday went 0-for-4, but I mean, he's their best hitter right now,
you would say, if player-wise, character, whatever, however he's doing.
What?
George Lombard. Honestly.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask almost any Yankee fan, I'd say 90% of them would say the exact same thing.
Really interesting.
So you got a team who is supposedly supposed to be a playoff team who's sliding, and the Sox are about to catch them, and they're fading from the Rays, who just can't seem to lose at all in a string. And you're saying that the guy who just came up, the 21-year-old, is probably your best chance in a crucial situation with the game on the line. And I don't think many people would disagree with you.
Interesting. Well, I mean, they are a flawed team. And just like all the American League teams are, to be honest with you. But the Yankees without Judge.
I mean, I can't believe it. I'm saying, you pray for Stanton to come back to throw some balance into that lineup.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shagman. This is Fan Base's Deep Dive in the greatest rivalry in sports. Listen, when it comes to the Red Sox, you knew they couldn't sustain it. The question for me is, you know, they're, as of Tuesday, going into Tuesday night's game in Toronto, they're losers of three straight. The question is how much can they pause before they win? And if they go and lose five or six in a row, it's a problem, in my opinion. But if they scuffle .500 or whatever, you can't lose 5, 6, 7 in a row. And Adley Rutschman is going to be activated, and he's going to play. Some people say he might even play first. I think, obviously, he might DH. I mean, Connor Wong is playing for his – I mean, I know he can't hit, but I've always liked him. But now that they have Jake Rogers
–
yeah, everyone thinks they're going to keep Jake Rogers and lose Connor Wong, but Connor Wong almost broke his face catching a foul pop last night. It was a great play. And
so
he's
an easy fix.
What's that?
He just disappears then.
Yeah, maybe if he has to go on the IL. But I like him, even though he can't hit. But with Rutschman coming back, he's a bona fide, when healthy, all-star. And I actually think, this is what my hot take of the day is going to be, that it's really good that they're putting him in on a three-game losing streak on the road. Right? If they activated him, you know, when they're winning 8-9, 15 in a row, and then they go in a little bit of a tailspin. Right now, they're scuffling a little bit because I think they're a little tired from this run, and they just got to fucking get. Excuse me, I'm swearing a lot today.
Yeah, he's on fire today.
I gotta get.
I wasn't gonna bring up the fact that Brian swore for the first time, but man, I'm starting to get nervous. I shouldn't say anything.
Well, it is a podcast.
You're right, though, Brian, because he kind of slides in, right? He slides in under the radar a little bit.
Yes.
He doesn't become the focus if you start losing, and he's not the focus that you're not winning, right?
Correct. And so I think it's really a good spot for him, whether he catches or not. And so I hope it goes well. I think when he's right, he doesn't have to be the man. Like if you have, and we'll talk about Contreras in a second, but if you have guys like Rafael and Abreu and Durbin hitting, then Rutschman doesn't have to be your one or two, you know, primary hitters. And I even think that kind of pressure off will be good for him too. Yeah. Whereas in Baltimore, they really needed his offense all the time. And so there's a couple things in place that make it possibly a really good thing at a really good time. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I hope he's healthy enough, didn't rush himself back. And whether he catches or not, I don't know. But now this Wilson Contreras thing, I didn't pick up on it. Now you think there's something wrong there.
Yeah, well, I mean, real quick about Adley before I talk about Contreras. So I think it's great. I think just all along, I think Sox fans are happy, and I think they're actually surprised that he's coming back sooner than they thought.
Yeah,
right?
Me too, yeah.
So it all comes down to as long as he's healthy and stays on the field, you will be fine. You're fine. He's not going to do anything bad for you. He just needs to stay healthy, and you're set. And it's a great, great move as of right now because he's back before anyone else thinks he is. And he totally balances out that lineup again. He would balance out any lineup because he's a switch hitter. That being said, you said he might play first base, which leads us to the Wilson Contreras thing. So Wilson Contreras has been sick for a couple days. He's been out of the lineup, and then he had the whole dust up where he, you know, got suspended earlier in the season. But then he also got booed when he came back and he didn't run out of ground ball to first base. So I love to talk about running out ground balls to first base because I see it all the time on the Yankees where players don't run out ground balls to first base. And you see it all around Major League Baseball. Just turn on MLB Network at night and let them go through the games and you will see it. Guaranteed. Every team does it and it drives me absolutely insane because in baseball and sports in general, you never know.
You never know.
And you're always going to look like an ass. I'm going to try to catch up here with you, Brian. You're always going to look like an ass if you get out and you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And you're never not going to look like an ass if you run it out. It's a win-win. So just don't be an idiot and run it out. But he didn't do it and he got booed. And he got booed at a time where he's basically like a hero, right? He's a big fish there. Him and Abreu are like the big fish there, right? Yeah.
You think it bothered him?
I mean, I think it might have bothered him. I think he's a little loose cannon. I think there's stuff going on with Venezuela and his home country and all that. Obviously, you know, there's always stuff you don't know about players.
But players hate him. Do you see that guy who stuck out his arm the other day running by first on Chicago?
Yeah.
Like, that was definitely on purpose.
And the whole thing with Duran bitching and moaning about him not tagging up. So there's something there. Let's say that, right?
Yeah.
We know that. And if there's something there, someone's going to latch on it. They're talking about it in Boston. They're talking about it on the radio. And they're going to talk about it if he doesn't stay and produce and they don't keep winning. So something's definitely up with him. It's something to look at for sure. Like you just don't boo players when you're like the best freaking team in baseball.
That is weird.
At the same time, represent your team, right? I can see where the Sox fans are coming from. Don't open the door. Just don't open the door.
Do you see the Red Sox as that second wild card?
I do. There's no possible way, and I think everybody who knows baseball knows that they were not going to keep playing at the level. And I say they were not going to keep because they're on a 3-game losing streak now. So obviously they were not playing at the level they were.
Right.
That being said, so yes, they could definitely stay 500 in the American League. If they stay 500 with the jump they took, they'll definitely be able to weather that going out the gates, right? Because the competition is just not there, Brian. It's just not there. I don't have the schedule in front of me to look and see who they're playing based on a wild card. But if you look, there's probably, I would say, six teams within 3.5 games of them, 3 games of them right now in the AL wild card, which one of them is Baltimore and Detroit. And they dumped half their team.
Yeah. And I mean, 85 wins gets you in the playoffs probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to take much.
And the Red Sox are, let's be honest, they're an exciting team to watch because they have the energy, right? They have more energy, I would say, than most teams in all of Major League Baseball. And that translates. It translates. Regardless if you got a good team or not, if you play fast and you play hard, you will force the other team to make mistakes.
Yeah. My take on that is, first of all, in 162 games season, it's true. I say in the NBA or the NHL, if you get a coach, this is why good regular season teams aren't always good playoff teams. If you get a coach who gets the teams to play hard during the regular season, you're going to get, in baseball, 5 or 10 wins that you don't deserve. And you're going to get 5 or 6 wins in the NHL or the NBA you don't deserve because some of these schlubs take the day off and don't care.
It's huge. And it's huge.
And
one game is huge.
We didn't even get into this, all this backlash about Marcelo Meyer. Did we talk about that last week?
Oh, no, where he supposedly is
smoking weed.
Banging Marcelo Meyer's sister. I mean, Robin Anthony's sister.
Yeah, and well, there's this rumor that they got in a fight, which has been debunked, but the fact that he just doesn't care a whole lot about the baseball right now, which I can see. And I think the Red Sox success has been a lot of addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
And so I find that storyline really interesting.
I think the interesting thing about all of that, and you see it all the time dating back, you know, in our generation, like the Josh Hamilton, you know, how he completely fell apart as a huge prospect. I think these guys, they get a little big for their britches. And it's I think sometimes, in a way, it's a sobering smack in the face when everything isn't going your way and you turn into a little bit of a jackass or a party animal. And it does take that smack in the face or the arrest or the demotion or the suspension to get you back on track. So maybe it is the fact that, you know, they spent a year on the disabled list, I'll say that in quotations, and then they get shipped off to another team to smack them in the face.
It cuts both ways for me because I think that it stuns me that anybody would, like, take the opportunities in front of them for granted. Right, you're a major league ball player. You could set yourself up for life. Having said that, my decision making at 22 was horrible.
Yep.
And so I think we forget. And my decision making at 24 was horrible, and 26 was horrible. You know, and the truth is, until I met my wife, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And so I don't cut them slack, but I fault the people around them as well, like whether it be family or agents or whatever. But you have to remember, the kid is a baby.
Yeah.
And he's an absolute freaking baby. And to me, it's about not the team like the Red Sox, but it's about the people around him. And they're not serving him well by not smacking him in the back of the head and say, what are you doing? And sometimes it's too late. It's amazing how quickly the window can close on you, especially in baseball. There are five guys who want your job. Five.
And you got to stay on top of your game. And if you're not working out and busting your ass and staying in the weight room and running and staying conditioned, you're right. Those person behind you that's doing that is going to go right by you.
They're going to draft somebody to your position every year. And there's a guy behind you on the major league roster who wants your job. There's at least one at AAA, at least one at AA.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody who's 18 who's better than you.
And there's usually always someone working harder than you.
Yeah.
Which is pretty scary when you think about it.
It's crazy how tight that window is for success, especially in baseball. Any last thoughts before we say goodbye?
I'll be heading off to Phoenix, and I'm going to go to Chase Field.
Ooh.
And I will see your Colorado Rockies, the Yard Goats affiliate.
Hunter Goodman, I'm curious how he looks.
They won 46 games already this year, Brian. Can you believe it? I think last year we were taking bets about 35 or something like that.
Yeah.
So what is it, probably like 40?
Break up the Rockies.
Yeah. So I will be sending you and Matt pictures of the beer selection prices there so
nice.
We can compare. But I did look at StubHub and I did look online and there
how
are
much?
plenty of seats and I can get lower bowl right behind home plate. And this is single tickets, but there are a lot available, $50.
So,
literally right behind home
plate. I mean, not to promote it, but you could also get crappy ones and just walk down.
Well, that's, yeah. But the thing about these stadiums now, and I'll say now because Chase Field isn't that old, it's probably 25, 30 years old.
What, they block you off from going down?
A lot of these places, especially the new ones, you're literally segregated to not even get down there. You can't even
You go to like TD Garden or these modern arenas, they don't let you.
Right.
You can't get there.
There's too many levels of security. It's not like back in the day when you could go up to Shea Stadium and pay the usher $10 and he'll just walk you down.
Or just wait and me, ho-hum, just sneak down the aisle.
Yeah.
We used to do all the time. All right, we got to run. Great job as always, John. Again, you've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.